Praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius again. We are going through the book of Jude. And we have gone as far as verse 12, where he was talking about this man that crept into the midst of the believers secretly. And when he said he crept in secretly, he actually was talking about they were now among the believers, but they were not of us, like the Apostle John wrote. That they finally separated from them, but they were not all of us, is what he said. And Jude was saying the same thing, that some people crept in unawares, and they were denying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them were the Apostle John said. Some said they were now anti-Christ, anti to what Christ is, the doctrine of Christ, that say Christ came and died for our sins and went to heaven. And we have saved from our sins. And people are saying, well, there's no thing like that. So those are all the things he was pointing out, that he was now pointing to in his letter to us, that these people they could be walking through, they are going the way of Cain, which is jealousy, or in the way of Balaam, which is greedy for reward, or in the way of Korah, which is like competition, that we are just as holy as you are. So that's the way of Korah and Abiram in the wilderness. Verse 12. When reading Jude chapter 1, verse 12, and he's mentioning these people, he said, these are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds there without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. So now he's putting some adjectives around these people that he's describing, that they may be among us, but when you see all those things they are doing, they are not afraid to be among us. They're feeding themselves without fear. They're clouds without water. They're carried about winds. And he said they are twice dead because they are not going to the world, and another they accepted on this side. So like twice dead, plucked by the roots. But that's the raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. He called the wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So those are adjectives that describe these people that he said they have come among them, among the believers, and they were not truly saved. They are not believers truly, but they are trying to take over the church, confusing the believers, trying to preach false, contrary to contradict what Jesus Christ has taught us. So that is what he is describing. And then in verse 14, he went to give example of where he read some of these things that I've mentioned in the earlier chapter, in the earlier sermon, where he mentioned that the angels that didn't keep their first estate, they were locked up. Where did he get that from? That was in the book of Genesis chapter 6, that these sons of God that saw the daughters of men and they married them, they were qualified that they were actually the angels that were expected to be watching the earth. It was in the book of Jude, that in the book of Enoch, that was reported. We don't have the book of Enoch among the compiled books of the Bible that we have in our generation, but that book of Enoch is still circulating up to now. You can Google it on the webs, on the internet, you see the book of Enoch, but there are so many three versions of that. And the first Enoch seems to be the one that he got this from, but there is another second Enoch and third Enoch that perhaps look like some Jews could have written those. Some Jews of that generation could have written those and give the name Enoch on it when you read through it. Verse 14 says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things. That is what he was talking about. Saying that, behold, the Lord coming with 10,000s of his saints. Now, I read that in the book of Enoch when I went to look for it. It was in that first Enoch. That was where he was quoting it from. He said Enoch wrote about these things, that the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He said Enoch wrote about that, and you see that it may not be translated the same way, but you see the same theme of what he was writing here, that was what's in the book of, in the first Enoch, that God is going to execute judgment upon all that and convince them of their evil deeds. Verse 16 said, these are murmurers now. This is called describing who are these people we are talking about, and it's Apostle Jude continuing to describing them here. He said, these are murmurers, Where did he get the word murmurers from? Remember in the gospel of in the epistle of Apostle Paul, when he was talking about, I think it was Romans chapter 10 or 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me point out real quick. Where Apostle Paul said we should not forget what happened to the people in the wilderness. Lest we forget, he said that God was not well pleased with them because they all fell because they were murmurers and they were all. You see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Apostle Paul referred to the same thing about what happened in the wilderness, that we should be careful not to be like them. And let me read it quickly for you in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers, that's the Jews, the Israelites, were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Say, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Now, that is what Jude was also referring to in the book of Jude, when he said, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 said, now, these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Verse 10 is really where we're going. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. What does murmuring mean? The people murmur when they are discontent of what is going on, and they are not bold enough to confront the leader. So they be murmuring means they are just saying it among themselves. We don't like what's going on. We don't like this person. We don't like. They are saying it among themselves, not able to confront the leader because they are afraid. But if the leader is God, and they are murmuring, they are murmuring against God. And that was what happened in the wilderness. Because these people, they started murmuring against Moses. But Moses said, I'm not the one leading. God said, we should go in this direction. So I'm just following what God said. But they were discontent. They were displeased. So which means they are not displeased with Moses alone. They are displeased with God who is leading them. So that is why God has to judge them. Because they were not following. So the same way is what Apostle Jude was using. He said that, these are murmurers in verse 16 of Jude. Who are these people he's talking about? These people that he said they came in among us on our way. He said they will become to murmur. Murmuring means they were discontent. They are not satisfied with how the church is run or what is going on in the midst of the congregation. But if God is running the church and they don't like it, then they don't like what God is doing. And that is when they are now murmuring. They are actually murmuring against God. And so that's why he's using the word. These are murmurers, complainers. Complain about this, complain about that, about the church. Sometimes you may see in your midst, maybe they are not complaining. Someone say, well, I don't go to that church because they are hypocrites. He's telling the people are hypocrites. That's complainers. Oh, I don't go there because that pastor preached against this. They are murmurers, complainers. They are not going to be satisfied because they don't want to do what God says. If the pastor is preaching the truth, they say he's preaching it too harsh. If he's not coming to their level to do the sins that they like to see, then they will complain. That is another example. I'll just give an example of what murmuring will be. Some people are already murmurers. That's why they don't come to church. They say they don't go to church because these are hypocrites over there. That people over there, I've just been worshiping God myself. But God said, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together, because you exhort one another, iron sharpens iron. But if you cut off everybody because you don't like what the pastor said, you don't like all those people over there, then someone, maybe it is you that have a problem. Praise the Lord. So that's why Apostle Jude was saying, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. You see, well, the lust can be just desire to be the one that should be speaking. That's a lust. I should be the one preaching or teaching. That pastor does not know better than me. That's lust in itself, lust for power, lust for fame, lust for recognition. And could be the reason that, it could be a jealousy like that that's driving, the motivating this person that is complaining, that is murmuring. So we have to be humble and watch and be discerning. Otherwise, we just fall into any of these offenses that this believer, this apostle are pointing out, that we should be careful. Don't be a murmurer. Don't be a complainer. Walking after loss, because loss is not just loss after sex or loss after money. It could be loss after power, loss after recognition, loss after I should be the one talking, preaching, loss after this, and that's all loss. It's the pride of life that can make people to begin to murmur and get discontent and dissatisfied. They wanted to stay away from the congregation, stay away from the fellowship. And we have to be careful not to fall into those traps of the devil. Because once the devil see the leaning, somebody's leaning in that direction, the devil will come and amplify it in your mind. Amplify it in your mind. Say, oh, see what that fellow did? Oh, see what that person said? Don't go to them anymore. Devil can amplify it. And if you fall for it, you'll be falling into the hole that is digging. So let's be careful. Here he said, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. And their mouth speaketh great swearing words, having men's persons in admiration. Because of advantage, I mean, they praising one person over the other person because they are gaining something from this. I see, because of advantage, whatever they are gaining from this, it can become competition. And you remember in the days of Apostle Paul, so in I think it was in Corinth, some of them say, "Well, we like Apollos." Some say, "Well, now I'm for Paul." He say, "I'm for Apollos. Apollos is a sweet talker. Oh, he can present the word so much. Paul, still dull." And so they become, they are now dividing one another. One say, I'm for Apollos, I'm for Peter, Apostle Peter is the head of the church, I'm for Peter. Very soon they have three groups in the congregation. Some say, I'm for Paul, some say, I'm for Apollos, some say, I'm for Jesus, and that's another group. So it looked like a competition there. And he said, that's how Paul Jews said, something like that is going on that he's observing. Men's, they are admiring. See, having men's persons in admiration. You are admiring people. You should follow Jesus. Don't admire people. All of us are servants of the Lord. You may get your food from this person. Thank God for him. You may get your edification from that person. Thank God for him. But keep following Jesus. Keep your eye on Jesus Christ, not men. So they say these people are having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Whatever they are gaining after that, that's what they are really promoting. Verse 17. Say, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, in the last days. He called them mockers. Who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. So he said that there have been prophecies before about this thing, that there will be people that will walk after their ungodly lusts, and they are mockers also. They are mocking the Christianity. Verse 19. He said, these be they, it's going to qualify these people again, who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, that they don't have the Holy Ghost, and yet they claim to be believers. And they separate themselves from the true believers and form their own church perhaps. Verse 20, say, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It's recommended that we should pray in the Spirit all often. Praying in the Holy Ghost is praying in tongues. If you have the Holy Ghost and you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you should be able to speak in tongues. And Jesus Christ gave that to every believer. Go and read it in Mark chapter 16. See, verse 16, 17, and 18. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. That's the gift. A general gift to the every believer. If you say, I don't speak in tongues, pray. Ask Jesus to give it to you. And you will fill you with the Holy Spirit and you begin to speak in tongues. And that is what you used to pray. Every time you want to pray, Holy Ghost can speak in tongues through your speaker and speak in tongues. Holy Ghost is giving you your trance. You speak in prayer for hours just to pray, just to pray. You are talking to heaven in a language that you don't understand it, but everyone understands it, God understands it, and you are talking mysteries. And that is how sometimes we intercede for nations. That God will use that prayer to do some things for believers or for nations or for people that are related to us that we don't even know. Anywhere, long distance that we don't even know about, God can pray through our mouth. Holy Ghost is praying through our mouth. It is our spirit praying using the authority that we have in the spirit to take things, to make things happen in the spirit. He said, if you pray in the Holy Ghost, God uses that many regularly, and we ought to do that regularly. You should create time for praying in the spirit all the time, every day. And we believers should do that. Verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You have to keep yourself praying in the Holy Ghost, building up yourself by praying in the Spirit. That's what you are doing when you are when you are praying in the Spirit. You are building up your faith. Apostle Paul put it one way, said that he that speaketh in tongues edify himself. So when you pray in tongues, you are edifying yourself. You are charging up yourself like a battery that is weak. You charge it up by praying in the Spirit. So you charge up your battery, your spiritual battery, by praying in tongues. And that is why he said, praying in the Holy Ghost, you are building up yourself in verse 20 of Jude. So we are exhorted to do that regularly. I try to do that every day. Maybe after I finish my work, try to take 30 minutes to 1 hour, just sit down and just pray in tongues. Just pray in tongues. You don't know what you are saying, just pray in tongues. How you know what you are saying is to keep your mind on one topic. Let's say, I'm praying for the believers to have faith, our faith to increase. And then that's what you say with your mouth, and the Holy Ghost help me to pray that prayer. And then you start praying in speech, you start praying in tongues. As you pray in tongues, your mind is on that prayer you have said verbally with your own understanding. I'm praying for all believers everywhere to have our faith increase. As you say that, as the Holy Ghost helped me to pray that prayer, I started praying in tongues. I said, oh, the kanda bashada, the kanda bakonda bashada. Holy Ghost will begin to speak through your mouth, praying for the believers everywhere, no matter where they are. If somebody is going through trial times, Holy Ghost can use the prayer you are praying in a long distance to be taking effect in another country. And that is what you do when you do, when you are a prayer warrior. And he wants every believer to be doing that. Pray in the Spirit. You are also building up yourself. You are charging up your spirit, your spiritual power. You are charging it up when you pray in the Spirit. Because Apostle Paul said, he that pray in the Spirit edify himself. Even though you don't know what you are saying, but you are edifying your spirit. You are building up yourself. And Apostle Jude allude to that when he said in verse 21, in verse 20, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, you keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Verse 22 of Jude, and of some, now he's saying you can also help some, have compassion. Have compassion on some people, even though you were talking about them that they might have run astray, they might have gone astray. Show compassion upon them, praying for them, trying to deliver them. Have compassion and have making a difference. That is, you can make a difference in some lives by how you exhort them or how you pray for them. You can make a difference, and having compassion upon them by praying for them also. Even all the people that we are saying, Apostle Jude was referring to, that he said they crept in among us, but they are not of us. They are trying to usurp authority, or they are preaching heresy, denying our Lord Jesus Christ. You can still pray for them to make a difference. Have compassion upon them by praying for them. You are making a difference in their life because the Holy Ghost can still turn them around. Think of Apostle Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus and he was killing the Christians. And he claimed to be a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he was on the way to go and arrest more Christians in Damascus. Prayer of the saints could have made the Lord God touch him and deliver him. So prayer can make a difference. That's what we are saying. Prayer for those people that you think are persecuting us can make a difference. Look at all these Boko Haram people. Let believers pray for their leader and pray that they be saved and changed, and God can touch them, and they can be saved. That's just something that all of them can turn, but God can take one out of them. Look at Apostle Paul. When he turned and God turned him out of being a Pharisee that persecuted Christians, he also began to be persecuted by the people that he was formerly leading. He was leading them to go and persecute. Now he became the target where they think this man is crazy. Now they want to kill Paul and he has to run. They have to, even in Damascus, when he first started the preaching there, the governor, the Jews were familiar with the governor, they got the governor involved. The governor went to arrest Paul. So they have to let Paul down through a window over the wall, the city wall, in a basket. The same one that was persecuting believers, now he himself was not being persecuted. God can still save that man that was the leader of Boko Haram. God can still save him. You keep praying for him. God can still save any of these Fulani jihadists. God can save them. One by one, God can save them. There was a story of a woman that said she was formerly one of them, and she got delivered and saved. in northern Nigeria. That is still possible. God is still saving souls everywhere over the world. But prayer of the saints, prayer is what you use. Prayer in tongues also can do some help. That's why Apostle Jude is encouraging us to pray in the Holy Ghost. Have compassion on some of these people, making a difference in their life by prayer. And verse 20 says, and others you save with fear. Save them with fear. I mean, let them be delivered out of this terrible fear that's come upon the world. Either by preaching them, because sometimes the fear of hell alone, God can show some people a vision of hell where they are heading. And they wake up and say, gee, I don't want to go there. And they repent from all the wickedness they have been doing against the Christians, against the women people. And that's saving them out of with fear. You can save them with fear like that. Either you preach it to them, or they saw a vision of hell. There was a time a minister said somebody came to him and said he didn't believe in God. He doesn't know whether it's a God or not. And the brother said, I just told him, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. In anyone that come to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that do diligently seek him. So you don't come to God because you don't believe he is. So goodbye. And then the minister prayed and said, Lord, let this Hebrew chapter 11 verse 6 be staring in the face of this man when he wake up in the morning. Let him dream about it that he that coming to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let that Hebrew 11 verse 6 be staring in his eyes when he's going about his work. Let him be showing in his mind that he'll never be able to take it off of his mind. Hebrew 11 6, that he must believe there's a God. And the man 2 days later came back and said, he woke up dreaming about this Hebrew 11 verse 6. He saw almost like this, somebody was standing in his way talking to him about Hebrew 11 verse 6. And he said he now believed that there's a God. So you see, God can turn things around when we pray. So pray that the Lord will touch all these people that are persecuting believers. Pray that the Lord will touch all this Boko Haram group, that they will be shown the hell fire in their dreams, and they don't want to go there. Then they will run out of. They wake up and cry unto Jesus and be saved. That God will save one of these infernalious men that are wicked. That they will see themselves that they are on their way to hell, and they will repent and don't want to go there. That is saving them out of fear. So God can show them fear as you make them to turn. Pulling them out of the fire. He said, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, verse 23. That is, they will even hate the sinful nation. If they see where they are heading, the fear of hellfire will make them to turn. So that's really how we can explain that in verse 23. So that's why we ask you to pray for these people. And ask the Lord God to turn them, to touch them, to show them hell in vision, to show them where they're heading. Some people, when they saw themselves in the vision and saw that the prophet they are following is in hell, they wake up and say, no, they don't want to go there. They are following the wrong person. And then they call upon Jesus Christ. So that is very important that you should pray for all these people, have compassion on them, and you can make a difference by your prayer. Verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Let me go to verse 23 again. Here he says, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire. That's what we are doing when you pray for them and they are delivered from going to hell. It's like pulling them out of the fire. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That is, we are to keep ourselves away from every ungodliness that can be tainting our garment. Just like we are praying for these people, the garment spoiled by the flesh is our righteousness is white raiment, as the Bible call it. Now, anything that is flesh manifestation, what is flesh? All this iniquity is flesh. The Bible says the works of the flesh are this. So all these works of the flesh that you see in the book of Galatians chapter 5, where Apostle Paul said, these are the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, idolatry, even including hatred and jealousy and all type of things. All of those things that are the works of the flesh, they are like stains in the garment of any of the righteous people. So he said that we are to hate even any garment that is spotted by the flesh. So it's warning us that we should hate sin in short. We should hate sin in short. You don't hate the sin, and we hate sin, which is the garment that is spotted by the flesh. That is a fleshy manifestation that he is calling variance, even all these things, even call variance. What is variance? Disagreement, debating argument, it could be, it is part of the works of the flesh. Let's read it quickly in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, to show what is the work of the flesh. Apostle Paul said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and he listed them. Adultery, everybody know what that is. Fornication, everybody know what that is, sexual sins. Uncleanness, could be any other thing, smoking, all those type of things, can be part of uncleanness, that is corrupting your body. Lasciviousness is the greediness, lust after money. Idolatry is worshipping other things, whether it is real idol, or worshipping yourself, or worshipping all the material things on earth, it's idolatry. You have no time for God. Witchcraft now, those are things that people think these are devil greediness. It's a work of the flesh. People wanting supernatural power from the devil is work of the flesh. Witchcraft. Or wishing people evil from your mind is a work of the flesh. It's coming from hatred. Hatred, you mentioned hatred as part of work of the flesh. Variance, that's this disagreement. Emulations, I mean, I'm trying to be like envy other people. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, what is revelings? Banqueting. Oh, disco. All of those things, they are works of the flesh. It's and such like. So anyone that do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what he's saying in all these things. He said we have to hit all of those things, garments that are spotted by the flesh. So that when we are trying to save these people, save them sometimes through fear, sometimes through praying for them, compassion. And we pray that the Lord will touch many hearts so that they can be saved. But now, the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5, he said the fruit of the Spirit is what we should be manifesting. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness, temperance, that's self-control. So against such, there is no law. So we ought to have all these fruit manifesting in us. Verse 24 of Jude, let's go back to Jude and wrap it up. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, that is unto God that is able to keep us from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. God is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his presence, before the presence of his glory. We have to trust him. Trust what we just read, that he's able to keep us. But we have to do our own part. Don't leave everything and say, well, God is going to keep me, and then you go ahead and put your hand into the offense. No. He's able to keep you, but you have to do your part. When he says stop, you stop. When he says don't touch it, don't touch it. Because he's in you, and he's going to be guiding you. You that have given your life to Christ, Christ is in you. He said that I and my Father will come and make our abode with him. So he's in us. So then we have to listen to him in the Spirit and follow his precepts. And the Lord himself will take care of the rest. God bless you.